Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go frickin' nuts. And my very special guest is Paul Levy. And let's go straight into what you were talking about at the end of the last segment about how we're all shamans in training.
Yeah, sure. So just to understand the archetype of the shaman, it typically will get activated in the psyche because of some form of trauma. So then we split off from a part of ourselves, and that will activate. The shaman typically is said to go on some sort of like this journey, you know, to retrieve the part of their soul that's gotten split, that's gotten frozen back in time. And typically when somebody gets called to be a shaman, it'll appear as if they're having some sort of breakdown, or they'll be acting, you know, kind of crazy because their psyche is disintegrating towards potentially a higher form of integration. Now, one of the things a shaman, to understand what a shaman really is, it's the primordial medicine man or healer. And when they work with, I say, a client or with the tribe or the community, and think of the community being the entire planet, all 7 billion of us, the shaman will actually take on the illness that's in that person or that community. And taking on means, well, they'll have it out with that illness, but they'll also, by taking it on, they'll take it into themselves, which means they become infected. But because they have enough sort of strength in their own mind and their own being, they will over time be able to metabolize that illness and heal themselves. And by them doing that non-locally, that gets actually, that informs and gets transmitted back to the person who had the illness, helping them to heal. So the point is, if we're all shamans, we have a permeable boundary. We're all interdependent, interconnected. We're not separate from the entire field. We all interface with the collective unconscious that pervades everywhere. And clearly, there is a psycho-spiritual disease in the collective unconscious. That's what indigenous people call Watiko. So how can any of us not be sick by being in this world? We've all been infected, but by being shamans in training, to the extent that we're able to assimilate that illness, that darkness, that unconscious, that madness into ourselves, and alchemically have it feed our light and actually heal ourselves, then we're actually incarnating or embodying the archetype of the shaman, and that's where we can really be of help, you know, to other people and to the world.
You know, that occurs to me that I am one of these people then, because that's what I do on a daily basis. Often we'll have people on the show who are going through real tough times, had their kids kidnapped or have their entire fortunes stolen by scumbags or something like that. And after a couple of hours on the show, I make sure to ask them at every point after this, because I try to relate. I try to help people understand. I try to have compassion for them during those broadcasts. And afterwards, even though everything is still crap in their life, they feel a hell of a lot better. They have actually been healed in a large part by speaking with me. And I think the reason why I'm able to do that is because I actually care enough to try and take on their pain, to try and take on these things that have happened to them, so that I can fully understand them. And as a result of taking this pain and suffering and things on, it weighs really heavily on me, but I'm able to transmute it back into happiness and joy. That said, I've got a joke for you. Do you know what you call an Iranian dictator who moves to Jamaican?
No.
The shaman.
I like that. So, you know, what I was going to say, though, about what you were just saying, Vinny, is that what you were just describing. So many of us are playing shamans without even maybe necessarily even being aware that we're doing it, just being an empathic, compassionate, feeling person. And it's related to the archetype of what's called the wounded healer. Now, the wounded healer is somebody who suffered a great wound, and yet instead of going around the wound, you know, I just want to feel better, I don't want to feel the pain. No, the person who's the wounded healer, they actually descend, and the shaman typically descends into the unconscious, into the darkness, into the underworld. And the wounded healer, by descending into the pain and going through it and not getting caught in it, but coming out the other side, by having experienced consciously, that experience of being wounded in themselves, that enables them to be with other people in their woundedness. And that's, in a way, what you're describing. You know, and we're all these wounded healer shamans, and I think it's really important for us to recognize that. And it gets particularly powerful when more and more of us connect with each other who are that, who are these, in a sense, bodhisattvas. It's very much like, if I can just bring up a really powerful image, it's like when you're in a dream and you recognize you're dreaming and you have lucidity. That's one thing. But when you're in that dream and you have that lucidity and you connect with other of your dream characters who are also awakening, and you put your realization together and you contemplate what you're discovering, that is, oh my God, this dream world we're in is just a reflection of our own mind. We're actually dreaming up moment by moment this very world that we inhabit. When enough people have that realization in that dream, enough dream characters, you can put those people's realization together in such a way where you can change the dream. And that's what's actually happening in the waking dream. That is, more and more of us wake up to who we are and to what's happening and to the dreamlike nature of reality, and we connect with each other. It's what I call, we can conspire to co-inspire. It's a true conspiracy theory. We can activate our collective genius in a way where we can dream ourselves awake. And that's evolutionary, and that's what's being offered to us.
Mm. Now, you talked about wounded shamans. I was wondering, what are the wounds that you've suffered?
Oh, my God. I mean, I almost got killed. You know, I'm an only child, and my father, it wound up, talk about a psychopath. My father was a psychopath. He was a world-class psychopath, but undiagnosed. And I was the sensitive kid who was really tracking. There was something really unsavory coming through my father. So then, of course, like, this is why I could recognize it when you know, other people describe their experience of being, they become demonized. I couldn't believe it. I became the identified patient. I became, in the family system, seen as the one who is crazy or is sick or was the problem. And I got thrown, when I was in my early to mid-20s, for a year, maybe four or five different times, I got thrown in mental hospitals and diagnosed, oh, you have a chemical imbalance. You'll have your, you know, manic depressive. You have to take this medication for the rest of your life till your last breath. And here it is. Meanwhile, I haven't taken medication for like over 30 years with no like episodes. And I just thought they were completely out of their mind. But it almost destroyed me, because then what you know, the psychiatric community, at least in America, is so unbelievably insane and abusive that they're just trained to pathologize. You know, I can't quite see that. What is that saying?
I'm holding up the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. And what it says here, one of the articles, psychiatry now officially insane.
Yeah. Okay, no, totally. And that was my experience. I was like a mole who had unwittingly like burrowed his way into the inner sanctum of psychiatry. And once I saw the complete and utter insanity, I just got out as soon as I could. But meanwhile, the tragedy of it is that my parents, in their generation, people who were doctors, were supposedly authority figures who actually had some wisdom. So my parents totally bought in to the psychiatrist's point of view that their only child, me, had this mental illness, and that I'm just in denial of my mental illness. And both my parents very tragically died taking to their grave the point of view that I was crazy. So I've just had to deal with that. And I've been excommunicated by the remaining family members. They want to have nothing to do with me because I'm picking up the voice in the family system that's typically taboo and not supposed to be spoken, and that I was pointing at that my father was a psychopath. But by the family protecting him, and I couldn't understand. But of course, the family and the mental health system protecting the psychopath of my father, that introduced me to the non-local field. And I realized, oh my God, when there's evil in the field and you flood light on it, the non-local field will actually protect the darkness. And actually, not only is it protecting the darkness, but it's actually revealing this higher dimensional, deeper phenomena of the non-local field, which was what I needed to discover my work.
Mm. Yeah, I've noticed that as well. You go after a psychopath and you suddenly realize, oh my God, they're not alone. They've got a whole army.
Yeah. Well, it's like the whole field of consciousness non-locally, unless you have incredible skillfulness. And keep in mind, I was in like my mid-20s, so I was just like in this innocent, you know, just wanting to like discover the truth. And I couldn't believe my mother protected my father, you know, the psychiatrist protected him. And it was just, it was mind blowing. So yeah, so I almost got destroyed. I almost got killed. I almost got driven crazy. I lost all my friends. Everybody turned against me. But yet, I was having a profound spiritual awakening. It couldn't have been more obvious from inside of myself. And that's what got me through. I began to meet my teachers, these great, these Tibetan, these lamas or Burmese masters, or just different teachers. And then when I found people who really saw who I was and saw me in my wholeness, because psychiatrists are trained to pathologize, and they're under such a spell that when they, particularly somebody who's awakening, they're in a really vulnerable, fragile state. And when you're seen by an authority figure as being pathological, it will literally invoke the pathological part of you. So you become sicker when you're pathologized. And then to the psychiatrist, that confirms to them the objective truth of their diagnosis in a completely demonic feedback loop. And they're both...
It's funny. That reminds me of if your girlfriend keeps accusing you of cheating on her and you haven't cheated on her, eventually you think, you know what, I may as well.
Right. No, it's exactly that. So the psychiatrists were both simultaneously casting a spell while being under a spell at the same time. So it was maddening. So I have incredible insight into the insanity of psychiatry that very few people have, and it's not by reading books, it's by actually experiencing it. And psychiatry literally destroyed my family. I have no family left whatsoever. And so, I've just had to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, this is a topsy-turvy world, so it makes sense that the crazy people would be running the mental asylum.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I've only said very little about, and in my book, in the afterword of the book, I actually, I actually go into my psychiatric experience as a way of, trying to just create context for what gave me the authority to author a book on evil. It was having to do because I encountered evil firsthand in a close encounter of the Wetiko kind.
Yeah, exactly. And indeed, it was actually the fourth kind because they kidnapped you.
Yeah. No, totally. And they wanted not only to give me a diagnosis, they wanted to give me a whole new job. They wanted to create a vocation. They wanted to pay me money to become a mental patient. And I would have gotten SSI or Social Security. And I just saw through the whole thing. It's like, oh, my God, this is insanity. If I subscribe to this, that I'm signing my own death warrant.
Mm. Well, so what do you mean? Did they say, you can experiment with this drug and then we'll pay you and we'll give you Social Security and benefits and on and so forth?
There were these benefits. If I agreed, I was telling them when they were giving me, there was one point in one hospital, they had a big conference with all the psychiatrists all together and me. And they said to me, we've all agreed 100% that you have a mental illness. And I just said to them, you're completely out of your mind. You have no idea what you're talking about. But the point is that if I agreed with their diagnosis, then I would have gotten benefits. I would have gotten, money every month to support me in my newfound identity as mentally ill. And I just saw that. That's an incredible spell. I didn't want to have that, even though I would have gotten money from it. I saw it's not worth it a millionfold, so I just quickly as I could stepped out of the whole dream of psychiatry. And it's sad because so many people who are in psychiatric hospitals are potentially having some form of spiritual awakening or shamanic, deeper initiatory experiences, but are not only not recognized, but are pathologized and medicated, and their whole experience becomes aborted, and they then become sick, and it's like they have a failed initiation.
It occurs to me, I've spoken to a number of girls about this, about how most of these so-called psychiatric disorders and things like that don't really exist. There's no scientific evidence or basis for them whatsoever. And they're like, but I've been told that I was ADHD since I was little. It's a lie, okay? They're just drugging you so that you won't be an entrepreneur, which has the exact same symptomology as people with ADD or ADHD, okay? Oh, but somebody says, I was manically depressed. Have you had a really crap life full of douchebags that are completely trying to frack it up the whole time? Well, yes, that's why you're depressed. It's because you're meant to be doing something about it. Your body is telling you to do something about it, not telling you to drug yourself, okay?
Yeah.
This whole industry is built upon something that does not exist. And you know, when we're sitting there and you versus all these psychiatrists, you know what it makes me think of? Joe versus the volcano. And it's just complete insanity. Let's sacrifice this person to the volcano. Yeah, that'll cure all these ills and things like that. We'll get some benefit out of it. Let's buy him Tweedledee or Tweedledum and get him, sail him out there. It's you know,
yeah.
Insanity is very little understood, I think. And what occurs to me is that those people who accuse others of being insane, who consider themselves authorities on what is and what isn't insane, are often the craziest of us.
Yeah, no, totally. And particularly when so what happened for me after getting out of the last hospital, I entered into this, you know, I found a psychiatrist who I thought was a good person and had some form of awareness, and we did therapy. But then at a certain point, I began to see her shadow and her unconscious just as part of like the interaction between us. And we all have a shadow. We all have an unconscious. We all have a part of us that's mad to the extent that we're not fully awake. And I just began pointing at that. And right away, she like absolutely identified, I'm the healthy one, she said to me, and you're the sick one. It was like she had a monopoly on what it was to be healthy, and she was so projecting out her own sickness. And I realized, oh my God, she's out of her mind. And that's when I stopped working with her. But that's like this living example I had of exactly what you're pointing at.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you just stop working with her. And this is what I do as well, and this is what we should all do. As soon as you realize that the person that you're with is completely insane, just stop interacting with them.
Yeah, no, be simpler. Yeah. And that's why, you see, it's really important. One of my the word bodhisattva, my favorite translation of the word is a being who's in the process of awakening. And so from that point of view, who among us is not a bodhisattva? And when you hang out with other bodhisattvas, with other beings in the process of awakening, it creates a field that's really supportive for your own awakening.
Like a circle of protection, in other words. If you surround yourself with morons, you become a moron. You surround yourself with psychopaths, you become a psychopath. You surround yourself with good, loving, decent people who actually give a frack about yourself and everybody else and humanity in general, hey, guess what you're going to become? You're going to become a good person. We'll be right back.